God take me back into John's Gospel and the story of Nicodemus, who is a religious Jew, who is a Pharisee. And we're told that after dark, he came to speak with Jesus. It may not be sinister about after dark because he's a rabbi. He will have been working in the daytime, I assume. So that might have just been the reason he couldn't get to come to Jesus until it was actually dark. But then it would be a lot quieter for Jesus to deal with him after the dark. And Nicodemus says, we all know that you're a teacher from God, that God has sent you to teach us, because the miraculous signs that we see show us that God is with you. And Jesus replied to him, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Explained Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. Our testimony, we tell you, this is the Father and the Son. How, if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe me when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Jesus is taking Nicodemus back to the time in the wilderness when the children of Israel were in idolatry and there was a plague of snakes among them. And there was commanded to make this bronze snake and to put it on a pole. And everyone that looked at this bronze snake would live. That was the choice. If you want to live, you look at the snake. And we know that's representative of Jesus. And so what he's saying is the only way to live, the only way to get born again, is to look at the Son of God, the Messiah. And so we know that Jesus was the bread of life, lifted up to take our place and our punishment. And we're taking bread tonight because Jesus reminded us, used that as a reminder. But we know he's the bread of life and that he was lifted up to take our punishment. So he goes on to say to Nicodemus, and we say, for God so loved the world, as if it's big, it's wide, it's high, it's that. But the original is, for so God loved the world. For so, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man, but lifted up. And as Jesus is saying, he's the bread of life and he's left us bread. It's because he's been lifted up that we can have life. And he said, God sent his only Son into the world so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's our choice. God has sent the Son. We have the offer and the invitation to come to him who is the bread of life. God says there's no judgment against him who believes in him. And we read that Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks to God for it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he also said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So if you've been drawn to the Saviour, it's because he's drawn you. God said, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father gives him to me. So if you're coming tonight because you're a believer, because you've lifted up and looked to the cross, the bread given for you, it's because the Father's drawn you and Jesus has chosen you and taken you in. And so then I went, the Lord took me into Ezekiel for the wine, to think of the wine. And not I would think, I thought, we'll be going back to the Passover. But in Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 18 to 20, we're told about the blood applications that were made in the temple when they were cleansing the temple. And I reminded that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. And so in verse 18, this is what the Lord God says. On the first day of the month, you are to take a young bull without blemish and purify the sanctuary. Now, the bull is the reminder of the golden calf that was made as idolatry when Moses was a long time coming down. And we know Aaron, he didn't throw the gold in, it came out, but that was his story and he stuck to it. But what we do know is that the blood is essential. And so on that first day of the month, they had to sanctify the sanctuary and purify it. So we know God doesn't like idolatry. You can have no other God but me. And so the inner place of our hearts, the inner sanctuary, is where the blood can sanctify and cleanse us and purify us. And then the priest was to take some of the blood from the sin offering and put it on the doorposts of the temple. And to me, that spoke of, that's open. Everybody can see that on the doorposts. And that spoke about our lives, what can be seen openly in our actions and how we live. Then they got to put it on the four corners of the altar. I thought, four corners of the altar? How does that work out? And then God reminded me, we've got four corners, with two hands and with two feet. And so, what do we use our hands for? Where do our feet take us? They need to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb so that we walk right and we act right. And then at the end, the last one was, put it on the gateposts of the inner court. So the gateposts are supports for the gates, and the gates are the protection. You can open and shut doors, but gates were connected with protection. You could lock them, padlock them, whatever. It was a form of defense. And the inner parts of our lives need to have the blood on the gateposts. So what we allow in our mind, in our hearts, is actually cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And so I just bring this to you and say that after that, it says that they'd got to do the same thing on the seventh day of the month for anybody that strays unintentionally or in ignorance. And that was an atonement for their. I just think, isn't God amazing? Because he's got everything covered. What we do, what we choose, how we act, forgiveness when we mess up. And for things that we do in ignorance, there's a sacrifice because the body of Jesus was crucified for us, because the bread of life is being given to us, because he's been lifted up. And so he said, this is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. And he took the cup and he said, this is the new covenant between God and his people. And it's an agreement confirmed by blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. So I want us to just ponder for a minute and just think. And then we're going to take the bread and the wine. And then we're going to listen to a song. And during this song, if you've got anywhere that's sick in your body, just lay hands on it. Because the cross is for sickness as well as for sin. And we can access all of the covenant that God's made for us